welcome, Mosaic Church. Thank you for joining us today. Today, we're going to begin our gathering a little differently than we typically do. The reason for that is that we are broken. We as a church and as leadership of this church, we are deeply broken today. We're broken over the events of the last few weeks. We're broken over the video that surfaced of George Floyd's murder. We are broken that this has now brought to light that racism, the absolute evil that racism is still alive in our world. We are broken because we know that there are individuals in our church, in our community, and throughout our country that bear the weight of these circumstances so much heavier than a person like I can, or the person like most of us can. And that's not okay. And for that, we're broken and we're hurting. We're hurting with you. We're mourning with you. We're grieving with you today. Now, if you are someone who's watching this and you're tuning out, because maybe you feel like this doesn't relate to you and isn't for you, or you've grown tired of hearing about this, I want to plead with you to stop and to tune in, to pay attention and to listen, because we need to stop allowing ourselves to be formed by and be informed by the culture and the media, and we need to fix our eyes on King Jesus and be informed by the gospel and by his word. That's our invitation for you and me as believers, to look at the gospel, to look at the word of God. Several weeks ago, as we as a leadership team were preparing for these online gatherings, we deeply believed that God was leading us to the book of Psalms and to spend some time looking at the different emotions that the psalmist felt and that are still alive in our current realities today. And it's by no coincidence or accident that we started that series last week, and we've planned for weeks now to today be focusing on lament, to be focusing on the emotions of anger and frustration and pain. And Joel is going to be unpacking that for us later in the gathering. But it's no accident that you're here and that we're here right now today. God is in control. God is sovereign. He has a plan. And you and I have an opportunity as followers of Jesus to look at his word and to lament the current realities of our broken world, to do as Romans 12 tells us, and to weep with those who are weeping and to mourn with those who are mourning. People are weeping, mourning and grieving today, and it is our invitation to join them in that. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to lament over the brokenness of our world. We're going to spend time at the feet of Jesus, asking God to turn his attention to the brokenness of our world and to mend it, to do what only he can do. Today, as we begin our time, Eric is going to read for us from the text that we'll be in later today, Psalm chapter 10. And he's going to pray for us, and we'll begin our time of worship and lament.
Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are broken today and we confess our need for you. Would you meet us here? You have shown us throughout your word your unwavering commitment to the vulnerable, to the lonely, to the broken, to the hurting, to the marginalized. And we join you in that. You've told us in your word that you are a God who practices and delights in steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. If we're being honest today, God, it feels like justice and righteousness have been all but absent around us. But we believe that you are still good. And we look to your truth today. We look to Jesus, our perfect example of steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. We look to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, our God who comes to us, who meets us where we are and walks with us in all of our circumstances. We look to Jesus, our high priest, who understands and sympathizes with every weakness, with every emotion that we feel because he walked in our shoes. He felt all of our weakness, yet he was without sin. He was perfect. We look to Jesus, who wept with his friends at the pain around losing their friend, Lazarus. So today, we weep over the death of George Floyd and the pain that our brothers and sisters feel from the ongoing effects of racism and injustice in our country. May we never, ever, ever grow numb to this. So today, God, we lament. Our hearts are broken. Would you meet us here? Amen.
say your peace passes understanding. You say you hope for the hurting. Where are you now? Come close. I'm on the verge of breaking. Come close. I'm desperate for your presence. Come close. The weight of pain is crushing. Come close. She touched your hem and you healed. Eyes with the dirt we walked on. When will I wake from this nightmare? Where are you now? Where are you now? Come close.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Yes. Let's confess our need for him together as we sing that again.
I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, yeah. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ. For the fatherless we pray, be the father. Let those who lost their way be understood. For the widow and the broke, be the lover who we hold. We know you are God and you are good. Yes, we know that you are God and you are good. Who hunger after you, be satisfied. For you bless the poor in spirit, for heaven is their kingdom. We know that you are God and you are good. Yes, we know.
ourselves of this truth. You are God, you're the risen King, you are good, Lord of everything. No mountain, no valley could ever separate us, no power, no darkness could ever stand between us. No mountain, no valley could ever separate us from your love. 'Cause you are God and you are good. Yes, we know that you are God, you are good.
Reconciler and deliverer. You are our helper. You are our healer. You are mender of the brokenhearted. You bind up their wounds, because there is nothing, nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not trials, not tribulations, nothing will separate us from the steadfast, immovable, unfailing love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We cling to that today. We cling to that as we weep. We cling to that as we mourn. We cling to that as we lament, because we do not lament without hope. Weep, do not grieve as those with no hope, because our hope is in the promises of your word. Our hope is in the person and work of Jesus. Our hope is that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord over all. One day all things will be made new. We cling to that today. We lament with hope today because of who you are, God. Because you are good. Always. Always. God, we love you. Help us to love as you have first loved.
Well, hey, Mosaic, my name is Joel Kaufman, and I'm one of the pastors here. And as we are all very aware, the world that we are living in right now is pretty difficult. We're experiencing a global pandemic that has literally changed the way of life for all of us and has impacted some people in a pretty profound way. On the health side of things, as this virus has spread, people have who have contracted the virus at a minimum have experienced quarantine as a result, even if their symptoms were mild or if they were asymptomatic, even to serious, serious health complications that have come from this, and even some people have died. People have lost loved ones, and people's lives have been turned upside down as a result of this virus. And on the other side of that coin, because we've taken some pretty extensive measures to be able to slow the spread of this virus, people are being impacted economically as well. We see So many people have lost work and people have lost jobs. People's businesses have been massively impacted and even have had to close down. People's retirement accounts have diminished, and all of these things are real and they are really difficult. And I think we're getting to a place in our cultural reality, kind of months into this COVID-19, we're frustrated. There is a lot that is frustrating about this new world, this new paradigm for parents who have had to be home and homeschooling and trying to work and juggle, and for college students who didn't get to go and be on their college campus and had to finish classes online, and for people who are doing work meetings on Zoom, and for frontline workers who are working countless hours. I mean, there are so many things that have been so difficult connected to this pandemic. And it gets frustrating, and I think we're getting worn down as a result of that. And meanwhile, with all of that going on, we stand in the wake now of George Floyd's death. He was a victim of police brutality, a black man who, instead of simply being stopped and potentially arrested if he committed a crime, instead of that, he was handcuffed and he was killed. And it was tragic. And here we stand in the wake of that. And because this frustration has boiled into anger, and of course that anger is absolutely justified, there have been protests that have taken place. And some of those protests have been peaceful and have been very good and helpful. Others of those have moved towards rioting and violence against police officers. And so we're living in this point in time where we're just frustrated and we're angry, and this anger is boiling over. And when we ask the question, like, what in the world should we do with this, this anger and this frustration? What do we do with this as followers of Jesus? I'm grateful that the book of Psalms gives us a beautiful space to step into this thing called lament. Because the reality is that we have frustrations and anger, and it's not healthy or good for us to just suppress those. We need to bring those frustrations and anger to the table. It's good for us to do that. And yet there are unhealthy ways to exert frustration and anger. But one very beautiful and healthy way is to go to God with our anger. And Psalms gives us this opportunity called lament. Now, lament, it has been defined by Tim Mackey, who is a part of the Bible Project, one of the founders of the Bible Project. He says lament is this: it is a form of protest drawing everyone's attention, including God's, to the horrible things that happen in this world that should not be tolerated. I love that. That lament brings God's attention to the tragedy in this world. And God allows that. He invites us to come to Him. I think sometimes as followers of Jesus, we ask the question like, oh man, can I even tell God I'm frustrated? Can I even bring anger to God? Can I be angry with God? Is that okay? Can I do that? And this thing called lament is God's invitation to us to say, yes, son, yes, daughter, come to me with your anger. Come to me with your frustration. Come to me with all of the emotion that you feel in this life, because I'm God and I can handle everything that you are going through. And so we have this thing called lament. In fact, in the book of Psalms, there are many chapters devoted to this, this thing called lament. And I want to walk us through today Psalm chapter 10, which I think is so helpful for us to see as the psalmist pours his heart out toward God in frustration and in anger, because we have some frustration and anger that needs to be dealt with. And as we do, the book of Psalms guides us through that. So let's go there together. If you have your Bible, Psalm chapter 10, if you happen to be using one of the Mosaic Bibles, you'll find Psalm chapter 10 on page 498. Psalm chapter 10 says this. Verse 1, the psalmist says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch out for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. And as you read Psalm 10, you can hear the frustration, you can hear the anger that the psalmist has towards the injustice, towards the oppressor, towards the evil that exists in this world. You can feel his heart going out toward the victim, toward the helpless, toward the person who is affected by evil, and he's frustrated. He's angry, and he's asking God, he's saying, where are you? Are you not seeing this? It seems like everyone who is oppressing people are prospering. They're not being punished. God, what are you doing? And what is going on in the world around? The psalmist is frustrated and the psalmist is angry, and he takes his frustration and his anger directly to God because God can handle it. One of the things that I love about lament is that as we bring our frustration and anger to God, as we come to him with that, what we begin to recognize is that he is indeed not far off. He is indeed not someone who is far away. He is near to us, that he is listening to us, that he's saying, son, daughter, come to me. I love you. I care about you. I want to hear your frustration. I want to hear your anger. I want you to bring that to me. And I love lament because it gives us that space to do so. And as we do that, what we begin to discover is that it brings our attention to God's faithfulness. While we're trying to bring God's attention to the injustice, through lament, our attention is brought to God's faithfulness. And I love that throughout the Psalms, as you read laments, typically what will happen is there will be frustration and anger poured out in that psalm, but then it turns toward God's goodness and toward God's faithfulness and a reminder of who God is in the midst of it all. Let's continue. In verse 12, the psalmist says, Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you know mischief, you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you, the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his hand, from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. I love it that the psalmist comes to a place where he recognizes that God is listening, that God is attentive to the cry of the needy, that God is paying attention, that God is not far off, that God is not paying it, not in a space of not paying attention to his children. He is very near to us. And the psalmist acknowledges that he is a God who will bring justice to this earth so that eventually, at some point, humankind can no longer do terror on the earth. I love the book of Psalms because it's so honest with the raw emotion of the life that we live and the things that we experience. And let's be honest for a minute. This life, from the very beginning to the very end, is full of things to be frustrated with and things to be angry about. And the book of Psalms invites us to come to God with those things. I don't know what's been your experience throughout this pandemic. I don't know what all of your feelings are regarding George Floyd's death and the riots and all of the things that have been happening as a result. I don't know where you're at with all of that, but here's one thing I do know, is that one of the things that God is inviting you to do with that anger and frustration is to come to Him. Mosaic, God hears you. He inclines His ear, as it says in verse 17, that God is inclining His ear to you. He's saying, come, son, come, daughter, share with me what you're going through. Share with me what's going on in your heart, and I will listen to you, and I will act. God is not simply just hearing our frustration, but He's doing His work. He is bringing His kingdom to bear so that one day, as the words of Jesus have spoken and promised to us, that He will make all things new, that until that day, we are confident that God is bringing His kingdom to bear on this earth. And He's actually inviting you and me to be a part of that. What a God that we serve, that He inclines His ear to our frustration and He doesn't push us away. That's why I love the book of Psalms. I love that we can bring all of this raw emotion to God, and God allows the book of Psalms to both help us process our emotion, but also to shape our emotion and to align those things with God's truth. I love that the laments bring us to God's faithfulness and bring us to God's goodness. There's a place that takes us, and it is the place of trust, where we recognize that, okay, there is something very, very wrong in the world, but when I know that God is listening to me, when I know that God is acting on my behalf and on behalf of bringing His kingdom to the world, then He is trustworthy, then He is good. Even though we live in a world that is still being impacted by the effects of sin, that God is on His throne, and He will make all things new, and I can trust Him. There's another psalm that I want to read, and I'm going to close with that psalm. It's Psalm 138, and it really is a psalm of trust, where there is a recognition that, yes, the world is fallen and broken, but God, You, in the midst of it all, are trustworthy. And so let's go there together. If you have your Bible, Psalm 138. And it's a beautiful psalm of trust, and I think it's a great place for us to land today as we recognize that God is inviting us to lament to Him. God is inviting us to bring our frustrations and anger to Him for the realities of the world around us. And He is inviting us to trust Him in the midst of that. Listen to Psalm 138. This is a psalm of David. David said this. He says, I give thanks to You, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing Your praise. I bow down toward Your holy temple and give thanks to Your name for Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. For You have exalted, above all things Your name and Your word. On the day I called, You answered me. My strength of soul You increased. All the kings of the earth shall give You thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of Your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve my life. You stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of Your hands. I love that this psalm places our eyes on a God who is exalted in the heavens, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or think, that he is able to work his plan for our good and for his glory, and that our life will not be for nothing, that our life will actually be exactly what God wants it to be. God is able to work for our good and for his glory every circumstance that we ought to be frustrated with and that we ought to be angry about. God is able to work within that. And so lament brings us to a space where we bring to everyone's attention, including God's, the injustices and the things that are wrong with this world that should not be. That's what lament does. And then it brings us to a place where we can see God for who he is, as he's heard our cry and he has listened to our complaint, and as he has spoken to our heart and spoken to our soul. He said, I love you. I hear you. I'm working in your story. And I want to use you to bring about good on this planet. I want to use your life in a way so that you can live for my glory. And I love that the psalmist explores those realities, that the Psalms give us space to process our emotions and allow our emotions to be shaped by God. So when we feel frustrated and when we feel angry, and throughout our life, no doubt, there will be many, many moments where we feel those things, let us be a people who through lament recognize that we can bring those emotions to God and allow him to shape our soul and to shape our hearts in the midst of it all, and that ultimately we would learn to trust him, knowing that he's good, knowing that he's working, and knowing that one day he will make all things new. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you are a God who is not far off, that you hear us, God, when we cry out to you. God, you listen, you incline your ear to our cries. God, that you are a God who loves justice and that you're working in the midst of a fallen and broken world in us and through us to bring justice to bear. God, we pray for the world that we're living in, God, with this virus that continues to spread, with questions about reopening our society and our nation and even this church. God, as we work through all of those things, God, I pray that you would allow the frustration and the anger that we may feel to come directed to you and directed towards you, and knowing that you hear us. God, for us as we process through this as a nation, God, as we mourn the death of George Floyd, God, as we mourn the retaliation against police officers, God, we pray for justice. God, we pray that racism would be eradicated from our society and from our culture. And we pray that we would live in a world that is more reflective of your created intent, where we would recognize one another as image bearers of you, and that we would give the value and worth that everyone deserves to one another. And we stand today in confidence that one day, together, every tribe and tongue and nation will be around your throne worshiping you. And so we look forward to that day. We look forward to a new creation that will not have the sting of sin, and that death will be no more. God, we look forward to that day. But until that day, we fix our eyes on you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
When peace lies
in our midst, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Thank you. the hope. Who heals the broken heart. It's you, it's you. So would you do it today, God? Would you do it today, God? Would you make a way when there seems to be no way? Would you make
been, you will always be. You see the whole, what we see in part. God, admittedly, a lot of the part that we see is broken. So God, would you, we just want to boldly ask you today to mend what's broken. In each one of us individually, would you mend the brokenness in us? Would you do that in our church, in our communities, in our country, and across the world? Would you just do it? Believe that you can. We ask that you will. We ask that you will. Be light in the darkness. Use us to be light in the darkness. God, may we trust you. Trust that even when we can't see or feel you moving, that you are. You have a sovereign plan. And that plan ultimately results in your glory and our good. Even through struggle, even through chaos and confusion, even through darkness and pain, ultimately you are drawing us closer to yourself. You're showing us more of our need for you and the sufficiency of Christ. So God, in the waiting, on you to make all things new, may you find us faithful. May we be faithful. For your glory, God, may we be faithful. It's whatever it is you have for us, God. Our hands are open. Our hearts are ready and willing to be obedient to you. So would you find us faithful? Fill us with your Spirit. Empower us to do the things that we cannot do apart from you, to think the way that we cannot think apart from you, to speak the way that we cannot speak apart from you, to walk the way that we cannot walk apart from you. Fill us with your Spirit, God, and find us faithful. We pray in the matchless name of Jesus, and for his glory, for his name, church family, we love you deeply. And we are excited to soon gather back up with you and worship again in person. But thank you so much for joining us online today. Stay connected to our social media and our website for any updates regarding reopening and events taking place in both our Winter Garden and our at Walt Disney World campuses. You'll find everything you need in those spaces. Church, we love you. We can't wait to see you again. Have a great week.